Today on World News Brief, you ain't seen nothing yet. What we've seen the first part of 2020 is just the beginning. Plus, the U.S. and the Western world appears to be standing up to the Chinese Communist Party. All of this and more on this week's edition of World News Brief by CGM Radio. Violence as a way of achieving racial justice is both impractical and immoral. I'm not unmindful of the fact that violence often brings about momentary results. Nations have frequently won their independence in battle. But in spite of temporary victories, violence never brings permanent peace. It solves no social problem. It merely creates new and more complicated ones. Violence is impractical because it is a descending spiral ending in destruction for all. It is immoral because it seeks to humiliate the opponent rather than win his understanding. It seeks to annihilate rather than convert. Violence is immoral because it thrives on hatred rather than love. It destroys community and makes brotherhood impossible. It leaves society in monologue rather than dialogue. Violence ends up defeating itself. It creates bitterness in the survivors and brutality in the destroyers. Martin Luther King Jr., excerpt from his Nobel lecture, December 11th, 1964. Violence is impractical because it is a descending spiral ending in destruction for all. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening. I don't have some clear written out statement for today in this monologue section. I'm just kind of hoping that some coherent thoughts come together that really express clearly how I've been feeling. I didn't talk about the George Floyd tragedy last week. We mentioned it in the interview with Bob Siegel, which I highly, highly, highly recommend. Bob made a very, very smart and coherent statement about the whole situation. I invite you to listen. I invite you to listen to that. Listen to the whole interview for episode 7 if you have not already. There really is so much that can be said, and just to let you guys know, this particular episode, I'm not going to be spending much time on this. This is called World News Brief. Excuse me. And as such, that's what I'm going to focus on. It's very easy to descend in the news of the United States and to just focus on that. Especially, and I ran into this problem time and time again when this was called Mideast News Brief. I so much wanted to focus on world news, but so much was happening relating to the Middle East here, especially with certain dangerous politicians. It was very difficult not to focus on the U.S. I'm not doing that this week, but I feel it would almost be disrespectful to the situation in our country that just perhaps it just wouldn't be right for me to just completely ignore that and move on. But let me just say that this whole scenario, this whole incident, the death of George Floyd, the ensuing protesting and rioting, is very easy to make someone such as myself, who is a believer in our country, who's a believer in the people of our country, and what informs and fuels that belief is a belief that God has a special plan for this country. That God, for whatever reason, I don't understand it. I truly don't, and I hope you get my heart here. I don't understand why God is preserving this country. We don't deserve it. Do you guys know that we have murdered over 60 million unborn children. Tens of millions of black children, as these abortion clinics are typically placed in minority communities, which, interestingly enough, was Margaret Sanger's goal. She was a racist, and she certainly had nefarious purposes for people with dark skin color. The sin and again, this is from coming from someone who's very, I'm very pro-America. So get my heart here as I say this, okay? I'm very pro-America. I love our Constitution. I love our country. I love the freedoms that we enjoy, and I want to protect those. But I don't understand why God is preserving this country. We don't deserve it. That's for sure. We should have, you know, I thought in 2015, 2016, we were done as a nation. I thought we were going to first spiral into socialism, communism, and then from there, ultimately, Islamism, political Islam. I wasn't sure how long that was going to take. Maybe it would take 40 years, 50 years to accomplish it all. But I expected us to generally go in that trajectory, and that the election of 2016 would take us even further down that path. But something happened. Something happened in early 2016. I am a Christian, and I believe God speaks today. I believe He's spoken through His Word, the Bible, and I believe He speaks to you and me. I believe God spoke to me in, what was it? I have to go back and look at my journal, but maybe June 2016, somewhere in there. Very clearly, I was in an apartment at the time, and I was in the area behind our apartment. There's a little track, and I was working out. I was running, working out, and just randomly, out of nowhere, I felt as clear as the Lord has ever spoken to me. I heard Him say, pray for revival. Pray for revival. Now, let me just say that I was stunned. I was absolutely stunned. Because, well, for one, I never imagined God would actually bring revival to this country. When I was in college age, there was a lot of talk of revival, campus groups where we were always talking about revival and bringing in speakers to talk about revival. And it was this thing, it was this doctrine, it was this almost like a there's a theology of revival that we were following and working towards. Well, I got very burnt out on that, and I stopped praying for revival. 15 years I hadn't prayed for revival, literally. Hadn't thought about revival. Never imagined that it would even be a thing, but He spoke to me. I as clear as I can say He's ever spoken to me to pray for revival. And the implication was for our country. And then the election that Donald Trump was never supposed to win happened. And I think I was exuberant, but then I also realized that, wow, maybe, like, for whatever reason, God is not giving us what we deserve. And let me back up a little bit even, let me back up again before the election. I wrote in my diary that it was after the Lord spoke to me about that, about praying for revival. The thought very strongly and came to me, what I was feeling is that God was preserving this nation. I really felt strongly that God is preserving this nation and that He is saving us to be a friend of Israel and a light of freedom in the world, so that His gospel and His kingdom would go forth once again. Would go forth from the United States to the ends of the earth and bring in His you could say end times harvest. And I was saying all of that, and I was feeling all of that before the election, before Trump won, before it still looked, the trajectory was still as if we as a nation were going to nothing. We're moving to tyranny. Interestingly enough, Brexit happened in 2016. Interestingly enough, Donald Trump, the man who was never supposed to win, won the election. Not only that, but what else happened? We held the House and the Senate. Why is that so important? That's important. Well, maybe holding the House wasn't as important as the Senate, but holding it in 2016, 2018, what does that mean? We all know what it means. We know it means judges, right? That's what it's all about, because you have these activist, radical judges that will simply block anything Trump does, regardless of his ability to do so in the law, just because they're tyrants. They're little tyrants. They've got this power. They hate the president. They give the finger to the law, and we're just going to block him, block him, block him, block him, block him. Whatever he does, because we hate him, we're deranged, we're lunatics, full of demons, and we hate him so much that it doesn't even matter what he does. We're just going to block it. And we saw that over and over and over again. Here's the thing. You know, just because Trump won doesn't mean there's not battle after battle after battle after after battle. I mean, we see it. There was the FBI surveillance gate during the 2016 election. There was the Russia gate, the Mueller probe gate that's turned out to be just an unbelievable amount of garbage that even Rod Rosenstein has recently come out and said that if he knew now what he knew then, he wouldn't have approved the FISA warrants. Really? Really? Mr. Let's try to get the president of the United States, take him down using the 25th Amendment. We're going to believe a word that guy says? Absolutely not. No. And then after that, there's impeachment gate. And then I think what we're seeing now is COVID gate, trying to use this pandemic as a way to bring down the United States, as a way to bring down the president of the United States. And here's another thing. Here's another thing that I think it's important to communicate with you guys. This is very important. If you don't get anything I've said so far, please, please, please understand this. And I don't say this with any pleasure. I don't say this to toot my own horn. I only say this because it's extremely important, and I think it helps all of us. I think it really helps all of us to be able to live in a sane way through the end of the year. So please bear with me. When this COVID thing all went down, and I began to realize ultimately what it was, which was an attack on the United States of America, and ultimately and most importantly, attack on the enemy of tyranny, Donald J. Trump. Now, you can love Trump, you can hate Trump. Fine. You have the right to do that. You have the right to your opinion. And I also don't judge somebody's Christianity, whether they like Trump or don't like Trump. I don't see how you can be a Christian and vote the Democratic Party that's all for the brutal murder and applauds the murder of tens of millions of unborn children. I don't get that. I understand. Look, if you don't vote Republican, okay, you have your reasons. Maybe you're a Libertarian or some other party. I don't see how you vote Democrat. A vote for the Democrat Party is a vote for the brutal murder of unborn children. And I don't, how do you put a vote to that? You say, oh, you're a conservative Democrat. Maybe you are. Maybe you're a pro-life Democrat. But there aren't any on the national level. You can find, I'm sure, conservative Democrats on the state level here and there. On the national level, they're gone. They're the party of leftism. They're the party of Stalin. They're the party of Margaret Sanger and just the just at will, at whim murder of unborn children. So no, sorry. If you're a Christian and you vote for the Democratic Party, you are voting for brutal, flat-out murder. End of story. You are. But get this. Get this. I said back in March, when all of this COVID craziness went down, and I began, and many of my friends began to see what this really was. I said to myself, this is just the beginning. I said to my friends, this is just the beginning. This is just the beginning. This COVID thing, it's not going to end with COVID. It's an election year. It reminds me of that scripture in Revelation. I share this scripture a lot because it reminds me so much of the left, where it says that the devil has been thrown down to earth and his wrath is great, for he knows that his time is short. I didn't quote that perfectly accurately, but you get the idea. Their time is short. They know on multiple reasons, and it's not just necessarily their hold onto power or holding the majority in Congress or regaining the president. It's not just about that. Ladies and gentlemen, finally, after over 3 years of begging, the investigations into all of those people, those corrupt people that illegally spied on and were attempting to undermine the president, we're going after them. We're investigating them. And you say, oh, that's not, you shouldn't be investigating your political opponents. You shouldn't be, oh, really? What was Obama doing? What was Obama's FBI doing? What was Obama's DOJ doing? If it's wrong to investigate someone because they are your political opponent, then how in the world do you justify what Barack Obama did? What his FBI did? What James Comey did? What Clapper and Brennan did? How do you justify that? So no, sorry. You can investigate us, but we can't investigate you? When there's clear and obvious corruption, when you use this fake, stupid, idiotic, Democrat-funded dossier to get a FISA warrant to spy against a political opponent in a campaign year? Are you kidding me? No, sorry. As Mark Taylor says, time is up for those who are corrupt. And that time is finally here. I hope we understand and appreciate that time is finally here and it's happening. Now, no one's been perp walked yet, but the process is happening in a way that it hasn't happened before. But know this. You ain't seen nothing yet. Whether it's COVID, whether it's the George Floyd tragedy, and the ensuing protests, look, which I believe in peaceful protesting. As I told my daughter the other day, you can be upset and protest the fact that the government every day is not giving you 250 rainbow-colored flying unicorns. You can organize, you can protest, you can make your voice loud, loud, loud. And of course, she corrected me and said, well, you know, that's an alicorn. So apparently a unicorn that can fly is an alicorn. You can protest whatever you want. I should be able to fly and I can't fly. And how dare the government not give me the abilities to fly? Whatever. It's, you know, it, your topic might be deranged, but it's called freedom. And look, if you don't give people the right to peacefully protest, even if it's an idiotic cause, which of course the George Floyd thing is not. Now, there are groups that are taking that and doing really, really bad things with it. But I'm not sitting here and saying people shouldn't protest about that. What happened was wrong, very wrong. And I do not blame them for that at all. But if you don't allow people to peacefully protest, you have to allow that. Otherwise, tensions build and build and build and build and build. And you have something far worse that can happen. Now, maybe my theory is wrong, but Far worse things have happened. Terrible things have happened. A black federal officer was murdered on Friday. A retired black sheriff was murdered just a few days ago for trying to protect a business. What that Martin Luther King quote, violence is impractical because it is a descending spiral ending in destruction for all. Boy, those words could not have been more prophetic, more apropos for this time as we see whites, huh? Are whites the main victims of the violence and mayhem destruction right now? No, they are not. It's blacks. And you even had the New York head of Black Lives Matter in an interview with Tommy Lahren of Fox News justifying the looting and the rioting. I'm sorry, you don't believe that Black Lives Matter. I do, but you don't. Because that ends in violence and it ends in death and destruction for who? Where's all this happening? It's all happening in the inner cities where the blacks are. These people are nuts. They are leftists, Marxists, Leninists who are trying to social engineer our country to tyranny. We reject them. We reject their narrative. We reject everything about them because they are not for the good. When they call us a racist for saying that all lives matter, when they call us a racist for us not bowing before the white privilege narrative. Like, I was called a racist the other day on social media because I did not confess my white privilege. I believe confessing white privilege is actually racist in a sense because you're indicating that it's better to be white than be black. And there's this whole doctrine of privilege that I don't buy into. You know, it's kind of funny. I was reading something about the examples of microaggressions as defined by the University of Minnesota. A microaggression being an aggression that's obviously so small to detect, but it's really, really there. It's an aggression. It's small to detect, but it's really, really there, such as colorblindness. Saying you're colorblind, that's a microaggression. You're really deep down racist. Statements that indicate that a white person does not want to acknowledge race is a microaggression. When we say, when I look at you, I don't see color, that's a microaggression. America is a melting pot, that's a microaggression. There's only one race, the human race, that's a microaggression. That's what you guys spent the 80s and 90s and 2000s and 70s telling us to do. Remember that song, Be Colorblind, Don't Be So Shallow, from the 90s? And here's the thing. If we bow down to whatever narrative they put forward to us now, they'll move the goalpost again. The civil rights movement never demanded that all white people need to go around confessing their white privilege. No, what did they demand? What they demanded was actually rational, was actually reasonable. And it was to don't, remember this? I have a dream that one day my four little children will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. Remember that? Is MLK Jr. a racist? Because they're begging us. They're begging us to focus on and judge based on race. What would they have done to, I shudder to think what they would have done to an MLK today. They'll move the goalpost again and again and again. And you know what's crazy? You know what it reminds me of? Like, in other words, you must confess white privilege or you're a racist. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of a sword being pointed at a Christian's throat and saying, say the Shahada, which is the Muslim chant of belief, or die. Now, one is very minor, right, being called a name. The other is very severe, the threat of death. But they're of the same family. They're of the same type. They're of the same strain and line of thinking and way of thinking. You must say this chant or else. Confess this or else. And I don't think as a Christian, I cannot bow down to that. As someone who loves our country, as someone who is colorblind, as someone who is not a racist, as someone who does not judge people by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character, I am not going to go around and viewing people of a darker skin color than me as victims. Now, I do understand and I do agree that that there are times and places where it is harder to be black. And I understand people have very real experiences, whether it's fear of the police and so forth. And I don't discount those at all. I'm not going to sit here and say those experiences aren't real. Nor am I going to sit here and say that that should not change. Now, you get people like Larry Elder and Candace Owens who will come in and give you like stats and data to show that that police brutality and all these things are way down, and that's fine. This is not the show for that. You can look that up and do your own research there. And I'm very glad about that aspect. So I'm not saying, but even with that data, I'm not saying that people don't have very real experiences with racism, that it is real. Then there's a question of solutions, but that's another thing. What's the point? What's the point? Where are we driving with all this? This isn't the end. If all of us right now, if everyone who are considered, quote, white, which actually technically we're not white, if you look at the color spectrum, we're not. We're like a light brown. But do you think if everyone who was, quote, white, went around and we all confessed our white privilege, that would satisfy these people? No. There must always be conflict. There must always be destruction and mayhem until they have fully reached power. See, right now they love the looting. Right now they love the violence. Right now they love all the horrible things that are going on right now. But when the Marxists sweep into power, you think they're going to stand for that? The same looters that they are applauding, they will gun down like the Chinese did in Tiananmen Square in 1989 when student protesters up to 10,000, according to a secret cable from the British government that was released in 2017, unclassified in 2017. It's of the same vein. You know, the best example that I can think of is the story of Pinocchio. Remember the story of Pinocchio? And was it Pleasure Island? I forget the name of the island exactly. I think it was Pleasure Island, where all the kids were brought to, and they could do whatever they want. They could smoke. They could eat all the junk food they wanted. They could destroy property. They kind of had this free reign to just let the worst of their base childish desires come out. And for a while, they allowed it to go on, because it served their purposes. It got them distracted. It lulled them into a deep sleep. Until the true motive of them bringing them there came out, which was to turn them into donkeys and make them slaves of the people that brought them to the island in the first place. They will not stand for this once they are in power, and they will do far worse than anything we've seen today. And there will be more. When the George Floyd incident dies down, there will be another. And this is what I'm hoping to. It's taken me a long time to bring this point home, but if you stayed with me this long, please understand this. There will be another incident. Major, national, crazy incident. Even despite today, June 5th, 2020, The jobs are amazing. The stock market's amazing. The United States is coming back. The left is not celebrating that. They're upset about that. And they're going to find some other crises and find some other crisis. And, you know, it doesn't matter that it's not logical. It doesn't matter that everything they throw against Trump makes him stronger and more popular, because they're not operating on the basis of reason and logic. They're operating on the basis of emotion, specifically emotions of hatred, of rage, of revenge on an election that Trump should have supposedly never won. How dare he disrupt the global order? How dare he try to actually take care of America? How dare he try to stand up to China, the most nefarious threat on earth right now? How dare he stand up to Iran and call out a terrible nuclear deal for what it was, and the funding of billions and billions of dollars to this regime who's taking that money and spreading it to its terrorist proxies across the Middle East and the world? How dare he? There is a global order. There's a global order that he must submit to. There's a new world order. Quoting George H.W. Bush, there's a new world order that's coming that we all must submit to. And Trump, for whatever reason, has said, no, we're not submitting to that. And not just Trump, but you can see it in Great Britain. You can see it in other European states. You can see it in places like Brazil that are trying to stay free countries and fight off the communists. I don't get it. That this is happening. I really thought we were just on the march, the inevitable march towards global governance, and apparently we are not. Apparently we're not. And apparently there's hope, and there's a lot of hope. And apparently not only that, perhaps, and it's not, I don't say the revival thing because it's something that God just spoke to me. He's spoken to that a lot of people, a lot of Christians are hearing the same thing and are praying for the same thing. Because when God speaks, it's not like the prophets of old where he like just speaks to Jeremiah or something like that. He's spoken this to a lot of people, and a lot of people are feeling and sensing and hearing the same thing. So a big takeaway would be to pray for our country. And two, to pray for our country for this year, because this year is only going to get more and more and more and more insane. You ain't seen nothing yet. I mean, it started off crazy, and it is crazy, and they're not going to stop. Now, my prediction is that after Trump wins, there will be a lull between the election and the new year. In 2021, I think will be a generally peaceful year. And that is simply because they need a break. They're going to want a break on some level. They're going to have to regroup, gather their forces, just spend a year probably a bit quieter, and then 2022 will start to get crazy again. But I do expect the end of this year and 2021 to be a respite. This isn't going to last forever. That's the good news. The insanity will not last forever. Our country, throughout its history and just world history and the history of countries, have periods of war, have periods of protests and rioting and societal unrest, and they have periods of peace. Right now, we are in one of those time periods in our nation's history where there's a lot of unrest and in some ways instability, but also I think it's important to take a step back and go, how unstable is our country really? And how much of it is it just what we see on the media? Or hear from talking heads such as places like World News Brief. What is what? And I would encourage you this weekend, go outside, take a walk, look around, go places that despite all of these Democrat-run cities being up in flames, most of our country is just fine. Most of it is peaceful and stable. And not only that, but we are on the precipice of an incredible economic turnaround. And this was something that I knew as well. I knew as well that Trump was going to open things back up and that he would be able to preside over the greatest economic comeback in history. He will be presiding over, and he is currently, right now, actually, Friday, June 5th, 2020, the President of the United States is presiding over the greatest economic comeback in our nation's history. This is just the beginning. This is just the beginning, folks. And I'll tell you something. The Chinese, the left, the Democrat Party set him up for this. I'm telling you, everything they throw at this president, he comes back better and stronger. I don't believe he's going to win the election because I'm just some genius political analyst who's run all the numbers. I have a faith in God that God is in this. God is doing a work. Trump is part of a plan. My faith is not in Donald J. Trump at all. I think he's a gifted man. I think he's a smart man. I'm glad he's there. My faith is in God and his son, Jesus Christ, and his plans for this nation. I believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Christ died for our sins, that he rose from the dead, and that those who turn from their sins and put their faith and trust in Jesus to be saved, do it. I believe that message is going to go, is permeating throughout our nation. I think what happened with, after Trump gave that epic speech on Monday or Tuesday, and then from there, he walked to St. John's Church and held up the Bible. You don't think God's in charge of that? To me, that was prophetic. To me, that was just a further confirmation that God is doing a work. I don't know that Donald J. Trump could quote one verse from that Bible. Maybe he could. He probably can. Most people can at least quote, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But I don't know that he knows much of anything of what's in that Bible. It's not about him. It's not about him. He's a figurehead. He's a Cyrus. He's a King Cyrus that God chose to allow Israel to go back to the promised land. It's not that Cyrus was so great. It's that God is so great and sovereign and powerful that he uses sinful people like Donald J. Trump and me and you to accomplish his purposes. And his purpose, what God dreams about. Do you know what God dreams about? I think I can say this confidently because it's pretty clear in Scripture. His dreams are that his kingdom fully takes over the entire earth. Ultimately, I'm not one that believes in a constitutional republic. Ultimately, I'm one that believes in monarchy. But the only monarchy that I believe in is the one that Jesus Christ himself, the Son of God, is head of and presiding over throughout the whole earth. Aside from that, please give me a constitutional republic like we have here in the United States. But ultimately, that's gonna go away. The nations of this world have become the nations of our God and of his Christ. The U.S. is going to pass away. The nations of the earth, and will all be under the reign of Christ. But we're not there yet. We're not there yet. And until then, it's going to be more and more and more and more and more and more and more insane. Prepare for that. So please, I guess if I could just, the big takeaways from this monologue that I hardly prepared for, and I did not expect to go as long as it has, I hope it is somewhat beneficial to you. The two big takeaways, number one, it's just going to get worse. It's just going to get crazier. Prepare for that. Two, do not fear. Psalm 31:24, be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who hope in the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who hope in the Lord. Do not fear those who kill the body but are unable to kill the soul, but fear him who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. Don't let the media scare you. Don't let me, if there's anything I say on here reporting certain news stories, scare you. Do not give way to fear. Was it 2 Timothy 1:17? God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Rather, what's the antidote to fear? It's faith, belief, trust. That doesn't mean we're not smart. That doesn't mean we don't keep our eyes wide open, right? And attempt to avert disaster. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is what's going on right now is an emotional and psychological warfare against those who support not just the president of the United States. And I hope we understand, it's not about him. But those who support freedom on a very general scale, whether it's our Constitution here in the United States, whether it's countries around the world that attempt to also provide freedom for their citizens, there's a war against those. But look, we have every reason to be optimistic. We have every reason to be optimistic that at least perhaps for a generation, that freedom is winning. And that for whatever reason, God has allowed or caused, wherever your theology goes in this particular instance, freedom to be preserved. And not only that, but the big takeaway is this revival is coming. Revival is coming to the United States of America. I believe on some level it's here. And it's coming. We have a choice to become a part of that by prayer and repentance and turning to Jesus Christ or not. And we have that opportunity. There's, I believe, a lot of people that God has spoken to about this very thing. And if we want to see this nation and, as a result, the world affected for good, let's join in and let's pray for revival for our country. Okay, that was really long. My apologies. I did want to get to a few world news stories. A piece of good news, actually out of Iran, if you can believe it. This is from the Washington Examiner. The nightmare is over. Iran releases U.S. veteran after nearly 2 years of captivity. Navy veteran Michael White is on his way back to the U.S. after he was released from Iranian imprisonment. His mother, Joanne White, confirmed her son's release in a Thursday statement. U.S. Special Representative for Iran, Brian Hook, traveled to Switzerland to accompany White back to the U.S. Quote, "For the past 683 days, my son, Michael, has been held hostage in Iran by the IRGC, Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps, and I have been living a nightmare. I am blessed to announce that the nightmare is over, and my son is safely on his way home," White said of her son's release. President Trump hailed White's release Thursday morning and thanked Switzerland for helping with the transition. Quote, "I am happy to announce that Navy veteran Michael White, who has been detained by Iran for 683 days, is on a Swiss plane that just left Iranian airspace. We expect him to be home with his family in America very soon." Trump said, "I will never stop working to secure the release of all Americans held hostage overseas. Thank you, Switzerland, for your great assistance." Switzerland is often used by the U.S. as a back channel between the two countries since diplomatic relations were cut in 1980. Now, why was he there? And look, if you're going to travel to Iran, just know this is what will almost very likely happen to you. White traveled there in July 2018 to visit his girlfriend and was detained by the IRGC sometime later. The IRGC acknowledged his arrest in Mashhad, Iran in January of last year. He was detained and sentenced to at least a decade in prison, on charges of insulting Iranian leader Ali Khamenei and posting a private photograph on social media, according to CBS News. Pompeo released a statement. It was very similar, but the part of Pompeo's statement that I thought was important was this. We are pleased that Iran was constructive in this matter. There is more work to do. The United States will not rest until we bring every American detained in Iran and around the world back home to their loved ones. The U.S. continues to call for the release of U.S. citizens Bakir Namazi, Sayamak Namazi, and Murad Tabaz, who have been wrongfully detained in Iran for far too long, and to provide a full accounting of the fate of Robert Levinson. So, look, the fight goes on. The Iranian government is not afraid to detain U.S. citizens, which, look, if... You know, how do you tell someone not to go somewhere, but they have to flip, but you know, it's kind of like who is the gentleman that the ACLJ fought for to get out several years ago? His name doesn't come to me, but he was over there doing charity work. Pastor Brunson was also doing charity work, I believe. And no, that was Turkey, actually, was Brunson. But it's just, look, Americans traveling abroad is just bait to these countries, is just bait for them. And so if someone's going to travel over there, they got to know, I mean, what they're getting into. Before whites released, the U.S. returned imprisoned Iranian scientist Siris Asghari. So there was a bit of a prisoner exchange, but from what the rest of the story says, both sides are kind of... trying to not make it that, but the timing was pretty interesting. I don't compare this morally at all, but it was kind of like when U.S. citizens were just so happened to be released the same day that pallets of cash ended up on an Iranian tarmac. Few billion dollars, $1.6 billion in untraceable bills. You tell me. So that is good news out of Iran. I like to celebrate good news on here. And I hope that blesses you to hear it. If you would pray for their family in that transition. Of course, the other prisoners that are still there. All right, let's head over to China. Of course, I can't imagine there's going to be a week that I don't talk about China. They are so relevant to pretty much everything going on in the world stage, and they, of course, we are in now what many are describing as a Cold War with China. And the great thing, one other reason that I believe Trump is going to win in 2020 is that history tends to repeat itself, and I've seen so many parallels between Trump and Reagan. Of course, who would have ever guessed? If anybody would have come out publicly in 2015, 2016 and said, if Trump wins, he will govern more conservatively than Ronald Reagan. He will do what Reagan never did, which is speak at the March for Life in Washington, D.C. I mean, you would have been laughed out of the room. But that's what's happened. But regardless of that, I've seen so many parallels between Trump and Reagan. Just like Reagan had a smaller victory in the beginning and he had a landslide in 84, I believe the same thing is going to happen. I don't think it's going to be 49 states, but it could be 40, 42, especially after everything going on. You think all of these suburban moms who can kind of go either way are looking at the rioting and the looting and the vandalism and the death and the cities going up in flames, and we all know which party of the two parties is more in favor of that. You don't think a lot of them are turning to Trump right now? I would venture to say so. Now, some hate him just so much it's, you know, doesn't matter, but those that can be swayed. So the thing about Trump is, just like Reagan engaged in economic warfare in this triumvirate with himself, Pope John Paul II, Margaret Thatcher, to take down the Soviet Union. In the same way, Trump is fighting against China. Now that Boris Johnson is in office, and I think I have a story down here I'd like to get to in a second, he's doing the same thing. Now Britain is doing the same thing. Johnson's doing the same thing Thatcher was doing in terms of helping the U.S. president to take on this hostile world power. But what's the latest thing Trump is doing to China? This is from Reuters. U.S. to impose restrictions on additional Chinese media outlets. The United States is expected to designate at least four additional state-run Chinese media outlets as foreign embassies, increasing restrictions on their operations on American soil. Three people familiar with the matter said on Wednesday. That's why it's so important for them to designate these media outlets, these Chinese state-run media outlets, as embassies, because there are greater restrictions on what they can do here to the U.S. I think they should be kicked out. I think they should just be kicked out. Maybe we keep a Chinese embassy here, but why do we even allow Chinese state-run propaganda outlets on our soil? I think they should be flat out banned, just like the Palestinian Authority embassy was banned and told to shut down. We should shut these places down. They are literally enemies on our foreign soil, just like the Confucius Institutes that we talked about a couple weeks ago, all across our nation's campuses, and even in grade schools, need to be just shut down. They need to be illegal. They are here to undermine our country. They are funded by the Chinese government. It's not like an American group. It's very different than an American group that's here that just doesn't like the president or wants to change the way politics works. It's literally a foreign enemy funded vehicles here on our soil. The action by the State Department, sure to further inflame U.S.-China tensions, could come as soon as Thursday, the sources told Reuters. It follows President Donald Trump's announcement on Friday of retaliatory measures against Beijing over its tightened grip on Hong Kong. The designations are expected to include China Central Television, the top state-owned network, and China News Service, the country's second-largest state-owned news agency, two sources said on condition of anonymity. They would be added to five Chinese outlets placed under restrictions in February over U.S. allegations they were used by China and its communist rulers to spread propaganda. Like the others, they will be required to register their employees in U.S. properties with the State Department, similar to rules covering embassies and other diplomatic missions. Though three sources said the announcement was on track for as early as Thursday, a fourth did not rule out delay. So this is just one of many things that we must do to keep China in check. And I think that between this and between the quote soft power, the economic warfare, the trade deals, and not only that, it's not just what we do with China, but it's also what we do with one another through things such as the USMCA, the United States-Mexico-Canada Agreement, that if we can partner with Canada, if we can partner with Mexico in order to act as a balance of economic power against the Chinese, that is good for the free world. It is just simply good for the free world, and it's what needs to happen. Now, I wanted to hit this tweet that I saw President Trump retweet based on Hong Kong and, within the broader story of the various things that we're doing as a nation in order to help those who love freedom, specifically the people of Hong Kong. Trump retweeted this from Alabama Senator Tom Cotton, who said, quote, "I call upon the administration to prioritize the admission of persecuted Hong Kongers to the United States through the U.S. Refugee Admissions Program. In coordination with our allies, we can help save those brave Hong Kongers from a horrific fate." And I wanted to play a clip that that Tom Cotton gave from the Senate floor. It's about a minute long and very much worth listening to.
Communist Party. I highly commend Prime Minister Boris Johnson for striking this bold blow for freedom. But the United States can also do more. Today, I call upon the administration to prioritize the admission of persecuted Hong Kongers to the United States through the U.S. Refugee Admissions Program. In coordination with our allies, this action could save these brave Hong Kongers from a horrific fate under authoritarian communist rule. While this refugee program has been abused in recent years, it has always served the noble purpose of allowing those who are truly oppressed by their governments to immigrate safely to the free world. And now it can be used again in this worthy cause to help noble Hong Kongers flee the grasp of the Chinese Communist Party before it's too late.
What a racist. Tom Cotton, the racist, letting people of a different skin color immigrate into our country. What a racist he most obviously is. So we are, that is just one more way in which those who are being persecuted, we can help and bring into the country. Now, he mentioned, and I mentioned earlier, what Boris Johnson was doing in relation to the people of Hong Kong. This is a story from the Epoch Times, which they were actually just reprinting a story from Reuters. But here's what it says. Britain will not walk away from the people of Hong Kong if China imposes a national security law that would conflict with its international obligations under a 1984 accord, Prime Minister Boris Johnson said on Wednesday. The UK has urged China to step back from the brink over the national security legislation for Hong Kong that it says risks destroying one of the jewels of Asia's economy while ruining the reputation of China. So here's what Johnson said. He said, quote, "Hong Kong succeeds because its people are free. If China proceeds, this would be in direct conflict with its obligations under the Joint Declaration, a legally binding treaty registered with the United Nations. Many people in Hong Kong fear that their way of life, which China pledged to uphold, is under threat." So what is fueling all this? And it's that China's legislature last week made a decision to create laws for Hong Kong to curb sedition, secession, terrorism, and foreign interference. Mainland security and intelligence agents may for the first time actually be stationed in the city. I mean, that's a big move. Once you have Chinese intelligence agents and security permanently stationed there, that tells you what their plans are, especially coming from an authoritarian regime. This is very different than President Trump sending out the National Guard or the U.S. Army to protect American cities from looting and rioting and murder and destruction. That is a very different thing. I love what Matt Walsh tweeted the other day. He tweeted that Americans can't fathom the National Guard be employed in our cities because they can't fathom the U.S. military actually protecting the people of the United States. We can't fathom that. All we've seen from our military, and it's not the military's fault, it's our leaders' fault, is that they're protecting everybody else all around the world and attempting regime change and attempting to topple foreign governments. Wow, what a concept. The military protecting us? Like the people who pay for the military with our tax dollars? The people who pay for the military with our sons and our daughters? The people who pay for the military with their very lives? The military protecting them? Huh? We can't fathom it. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. If China proceeds to justify their fears, then Britain could not in good conscience shrug our shoulders and walk away. Instead, we will honor our obligations and provide an alternative. Then it gives a little history here. Hong Kong was handed back to China in 1997 after more than 150 years of British rule, imposed after Britain defeated China in the First Opium War. China said its decisions on national security in Hong Kong were its own affair. Quote, we advise the UK side to step back from the brink, Chinese Foreign Ministry spokesman Zhao Lijian said. Johnson repeated Britain's pledge to give British national overseas passport holders in Hong Kong a path to British citizenship. So not only is America offering Hong Kongers British citizenship, so are the British. I say that hasn't happened in the U.S. yet, but it looks like it's trending that direction. Hong Kong democracy activist Joshua Wong called on the U.K. to go further and impose sanctions on China. Quote, I call upon the U.K. government to impose necessary sanctions and restrictive measures. So that's what's happening. The nations of the world are beginning to stand up to China to see what it is. And not only that, but remember the UK, I don't know if you saw this or not, but the UK government has come out and said that they are not going to allow Chinese technology in their 5G networks. Duh. I mean, how dense would you have to be? Which makes me wonder about what is going on with Secretary of Defense Mark Esper. It is almost as if Trump is a magnet for hiring these deep state, how he has basically come out and said he doesn't think it'd be a good idea to deploy the National Guard. Is he not communicating with the president? He works for the president of the United States. Did Obama's underlings come out and contradict him on camera and in public? I don't recall that ever happening. And look, I agree with that. They work for him. They either ultimately go with his decision or they step down, right? Whether it's the Obama administration, whether it's the Trump administration. How is it in this bizarre upside down world of the Trump administration, you've got all of these people, you know, whether it's Jeff Sessions, whether it's T-Rex, the first Secretary of State, whether it's Esper, yeah, I mean, you name it, you go down the list. Why is he like coming out? Does he not understand as the Secretary of Defense, as a general, he should understand the order of command, that he is under his commander in chief, and he is coming out and contradicting the president on this stuff? And he kind of finally relented and came back. But how did that even happen in the first place? Oh, and by the way, what got me started on this little tirade, why in the world would he think it's a good idea to use Chinese technology in our 5G networks? That tells me something is really, 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 really wrong with this guy. How in the world can you think a nation that is committed to spying on the world, to spreading its tentacles everywhere, for spreading its tyranny everywhere, to take their technology and something such as a 5G network and put it all over the United States and somehow think that they're not going to be spying on us? No, I don't think he's that stupid. I don't think he's that dumb. So that tells me something else is going on with Mark Esper that already told me that. And then when he came out and he contradicted the president on sending the troops to various cities that are dealing with rioting and looting and murdering and burning down buildings and police stations, and it's unbelievable. So it's I don't understand why Trump is a magnet and why he makes, it seems at times, very terrible hiring decisions with those that are in the most important positions of government. I don't get it. Why did he hire McMaster? Jeff Sessions, I kind of understand. because Jeff Sessions was very conservative. Jeff Sessions was a big pro-Trump guy when many, many, many people were not. And he turned out to be a disaster. I give Trump a pass on that one because, look, I mean, who knew? Who knew that Jeff Sessions would turn out as bad as he did? I never fathomed. He made a great decision with Mike Flynn as the NSA, as the head of the NSA, but or as National Security Advisor. But then to replace him with H.R. McMaster's, huh? It's weird. It's been a bizarre world. But that being said, ultimately, though, despite all of that, we're not using Chinese 5G. Great Britain's not going to use Chinese 5G technology. And I very much hope that there's probably other nations that aren't as well. I'm just not sure what those are. You can email me, world@cgmradio.com, world@cgmradio.com, if with any. I love, send me anything there. Prayer requests, news articles you think that are pertinent to the discussion of this podcast, challenges to things that I've said, questions, whatever, world@cgmradio.com. Also, follow me on Twitter, @worldnewscgm. I have a video up there right now of this this mudslide in Norway. I believe it was in Norway. Let me go to my Twitter real quick. Yeah, there's a viral video of a mudslide in Alta, Norway, that at Jan Frederick D posted. It was eerie. It was like a scene out of Avengers. I believe it was I forget which one it was, when that they're in this European country and like the whole city kind of goes into the sky. It's truly bizarre to see this whole section of land actually detach itself from the coast and go into the, and with houses on it, and go into the water. Now, thankfully, as far as I know, nobody died. There was actually even a dog that was recovered and rescued as well. But it's worth taking a look at. I've never seen anything like that. Please pray for any of the families that were involved in that, because I mean, I'm looking at this going, that's people's lives floating away. Their homes, their memories, their things floating away. And it's just really, really, really sad to think. And it really makes me think about, how we can't live for this world, how we can't live for the here and now, because it's temporary. Like, even if we keep our home till the day of our death, it's still temporary. But God is eternal. He and his kingdom are eternal. And it's following Jesus Christ is, without a doubt, that last. Our souls last. Nothing else does. But please pray for the families involved in that. Well, guys, thank you so much for joining us. There were so many news stories that I didn't get to. However, I will include links to those news stories in the show notes of this podcast, any of the articles referenced here. I just, with everything going on the past week and a half, there was a lot I had to get off my chest. I hope it was informative and a blessing to you guys. Make sure to subscribe to the show if you have not already. You can do it two ways. Look up CGM Radio in your favorite podcasting app, and you can subscribe to all the great shows, including our newest show, The Bob Siegel Show, which I highly recommend. You can also subscribe to the podcast by going to cgmradio.com/world, or just go to cgmradio.com to subscribe to CGM. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Please pray for our nation. Please pray for revival, and may his kingdom come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven.